Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hear the words of Jesus. See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him and deliver him over to the Gentiles. And they will mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise. Today in our gospel reading, we hear Jesus' third and final passion prediction, as these pronouncements in the synoptic gospels have come to be called. Or as my teacher, Jim Veltz, harps on repeatedly, these are Jesus' predictions of his passion and his resurrection. That's more of a mouthful than just saying passion prediction, but it does put the emphasis in the right place. Because Jesus never speaks of his suffering and death without also speaking of his resurrection. 3 times Jesus told his disciples that he must be killed and rise again. 3 times. The first time was at the gates of hell in Caesarea Philippi. The second time was immediately, that was the name of the cave, by the way. It wasn't like the spiritual gates of hell, but there was a cave there called Beneas, which was called the gates of hell. The second time was immediately after his descent from the Mount of Transfiguration. And the third time was on his journey to Jerusalem, where he would die in less than a week's time. You may notice that with each successive prediction of his death and resurrection, Jesus gives more and more detail. In fact, I put together a bulletin insert for you that shows these predictions in parallel so that it can highlight the similarities and the differences between each of the three. And I encourage you to take that out and look at it for the rest of the sermon. Where things are on the same line, it means it's basically talking about the same thing. And where there is a gap, it means that that particular prediction is silent on a particular point. And you can see how it gets more and more detailed, more and more fleshed out as we go from left to right. In the first passion prediction, sorry, Dr. Veltz, Jesus describes everything in really general terms. He would suffer many things and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And yet Jesus does insert specific mention that he would be rejected by the Jewish religious leaders, the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes. Jesus knew who his enemies were. In the second passion prediction, that's the middle column, Jesus adds the horrifying detail that he would be betrayed. The Greek word for deliver, paradidomi, can also mean betray. And at the Last Supper, Jesus would use this same word when he spoke of Judas Iscariot and said, "Truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me." Hand me over, paradidomi. One who is eating with me. It is one of the 12, one who is dipping bread into the dish with me. Jesus would not be taken by surprise. The third and final passion prediction, that's on the right side, that is the goriest. And it describes in great detail the kind of humiliation that Christ would undergo for us, including his mockery and his scourging by the Roman soldiers, the Gentiles. Also here is the word condemn. And that's the first indication that his death would be carried out by a court of law. He would not be murdered by a mob. He would be publicly executed in the Roman way. The cross was the crux of the matter. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Clearly, Jesus knew what he was getting himself into. There was no doubt in his mind what was going to happen on the following Thursday and Friday of the coming week. Quite notably, what remains the same in each of the three passion predictions is Jesus' repeated use of the title Son of Man. That was his favorite self-designation, his favorite title for himself. Jesus was the Son of God, he still is, but his favorite title for himself was the Son of Man. This was a messianic title from Daniel chapter 7. Also, something that we see here that what runs through all three passion predictions is the fact that he says he would be killed. Not just die, killed. Jesus was not going to die comfortably in his bed at his old age. He wasn't going to get sick and die of a disease. His violent death would be gory and ugly and horrible and at the hands of other people. And yet he still chose the path of the cross because he knew what was necessary to save us from our sins. Long before Holy Week, Jesus laid it all out for his disciples. Suffering, death, resurrection. Three times, Jesus told them what was going to happen in Jerusalem. He was going to suffer, he was going to be killed, and he was going to rise again. Suffer, die, rise. Suffer, die, rise. And three times, they misunderstood or refused to hear what Jesus had to say. After Jesus' first passion prediction, Simon Peter, the spokesman for the apostles, he actually took Jesus to task. He rebuked Jesus for mentioning that the Son of Man must die and rise again. He said, "Far be it from you, Lord, far be it from you. This shall never happen to you." Peter didn't like Jesus' crosstalk. Dietrich Bonhoeffer has warned that Satan is always trying to pull the church away from the cross. And so Jesus had to turn. He had to rebuke Peter. And in that gospel from so many weeks ago, remember, he said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not thinking the things of God, but thinking the things of man." After the second passion prediction, we're told Jesus' disciples did not understand the saying, but they were afraid to ask him. Have you ever had that experience where your teacher said something in class you didn't understand, but you didn't want to be made a fool, so you kept quiet and didn't ask for further explanation? Sometimes people do that in Bible class. It's better to ask. They didn't get it, but they were afraid to ask, probably because they remembered the way that Jesus so sharply upbraided Peter when he tried to argue with Jesus about it. Maybe they were afraid to get in a tangle about it. But in some ways, the worst response of all takes place in today's gospel lesson, because right after Jesus plainly told them of his suffering, death, and resurrection, two of the disciples, James and John, came up to Jesus to ask for a favor. It's almost like they didn't even hear what he was saying. They're just completely ignoring him and thinking about something else, and that something else was not very good. They came up to him and Jesus said, "What do you want?" And they said, "Grant us to sit, one at your right, one at your left, when you are in your glory." In other words, when King Jesus would finally sit down on his throne, they wanted the best seats in the house. They wanted to sit in the positions of power and influence on either side of Jesus. In their selfish ambition, they desired to be considered the greatest in the kingdom of God. And Jesus told them, sadly, they didn't really understand what they were asking. And it wasn't his to give away. "To sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." And as we discover in this week's cartoon from Agnus Dei, those places were prepared for two thieves. Jesus, in his glory on the cross, was crucified between two criminals, one on his right, one on his left. Time and again, Jesus pointed his disciples to the cross. Three times, passion, crucifixion, resurrection. Three times. How is it then, we may wonder, that Jesus' disciples could be so devastated by the crucifixion? And how could they be caught off guard by the resurrection, even though he told them repeatedly precisely what was to occur? How could they lose the plot when he spelled it out and told them over and over and over again? Well, there's a very simple answer. The disciples were not good listeners. They didn't pay attention to what Jesus said. They got hung up on the wrong words. They didn't listen to the end. They were distracted by other concerns, like which is the greatest. And that's why on the Mount of Transfiguration, the voice of the Father had to boom from the heavens and say, "This is my Son. Listen to him. Listen to him. You're not doing a good job, guys. Just listen." But they didn't. and they got stuck on the suffering and the death talk, and they never believed the part about the resurrection. Or they were distracted by those sinful arguments about who would get the best spot. We're not good listeners either. We tend to only hear what we want to hear or what we expect people will say. We interrupt one another. We react instead of respond. We start formulating our reply before the other person finishes their question or the point that they're trying to make. We don't listen for understanding. We seek to only be heard ourselves. And in the angry vitriol of American culture today, we wrongly believe that whoever shouts the loudest is the winner. No wonder then that we have such a hard time listening to God's word. Your Bible does not shout very loudly at you. We hear God's commandments, but we don't obey them. We choose a life of sin instead of doing things God's way. We hear God's promises, but we don't believe them. Jesus tells us again and again that God will take care of our needs, protect our life, pardon our sins. But we act as though everything were up to us and our own efforts. We even deceive ourselves into thinking that we must earn our salvation by being nice people and doing good things. Or we despair when we come to the rude realization that we are quite incapable of doing any of it. We forget the wonderful word that Jesus speaks in our gospel today. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus has already laid it out for us over and over and over again. Three times he told you that he must suffer and be killed, and 3 days later rise again. Three times. These passion predictions, or passion and resurrection predictions, are not just for the first disciples. They are for today's disciples too. Because Jesus' suffering and his cross and his empty tomb are for you. Jesus came to give his life as a ransom for many, to die and give his life for you. He's been telling you that all along. Will you believe him? Will you receive that word? And will you perceive the passion and the cross and the empty tomb? Jesus did it all for you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.